I'm very thankful for the choice of the songs that we've sung tonight. They go so well with my thoughts. A particular passage that, as I ask you to turn your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 11, you're going to think, well, what kind of a communion message or Lord's Table message could you bring from Lazarus, you know, and his death and the household of Mary and Martha? And there's not a lot in there in and of itself other than the fact that Lazarus was raised again from the dead. Of course, I don't know how Lazarus felt about that, because he was going to have to die again and then face the eternal resurrection. What I found in John chapter 11, I want to read the first 36 verses. What I've discovered there is the tremendous love of our Lord Jesus Christ that had such a powerful effect upon those who were his children, his disciples, as well as upon the Jews who were unbelievers. His love affected both saved and lost alike. And of course, over and over again in this chapter, we see the word love comes up, or the principle of love is shown by some of the characters involved within this text. And so I'm reading from John 11, beginning at verse 1. And I'm actually using verse 36 as my text. Behold how he loved him, how Christ loved Lazarus. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I would love to make comments as I read through this, but I'm not going to. It strikes you, doesn't it, that he loved all three in that household, and yet he abode 2 days still. I would have run. I would have got a helicopter. I've done anything I could to get there to that home and to do what I could if I were Jesus, but he has a purpose, and it's borne out here. Then after that saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Amen. Very precious portion of God's word as we think of the love and the compassion that is being demonstrated in this, the whole context of this portion. Behold how he loved him. We see the love emanating forth from the Lord's heart over and over again, and as well from Mary and Martha and from the Jews. There in the verse 2 it says, And it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. There was a tremendous love, if you remember the story in another portion of God's word, that she would stoop down and she would, with her tears, wash the Savior's feet and wipe his feet with her hair. What love is this? And then in verse 3, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. In verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. In verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, the love that they had for them. And then over in the closing verses, when Jesus, verse 33, therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible, which tells us Jesus wept. You can just feel, you can sense the heart of the Savior and the love and the compassion that emanated forth from him. And then the Jews said, Behold how he loved him. Those Jews were the ones, I suppose, that we read earlier in the text that were with them in the house with Mary and Martha. And yet, most likely, they were not believing Jews. And yet, they had a love, they had a desire to show comfort and sympathy. You know, even the unconverted can demonstrate love of a sort. But what love is this that Christ had demonstrated to all the gathering there, and especially to Mary and to Martha? And when we think of the deep love and the eternal love of the Lord Jesus Christ, it might be well said of each blood-bought believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Behold how he loved him. Behold how he loved her. And so as we come to the table tonight to be reminded once again and remember and reflect upon the death of our Lord, his great love wherewith he loved us, it is for us personally that we're reading about here, not just for Mary and Martha and the compassion shown, but for us. Behold, and that's what I want to look at tonight, how the Lord loves us, how he loved us and how he loves us still. I think the latter part of what I just said is more difficult for me to take in than the fact that he ever loved me in the first place, but that he loved me even after he revealed himself and showed his grace and mercy and forgiveness, dying on the cross. And that knowing how we live with our sinful natures and our failures and the times that we sin, I find in the scriptures and I find in my heart that he loves me still. His love never changes. Child of God, Jesus loves us eternally. It is not a temporary love. It's not just for today and gone tomorrow. It's not just a love that will be with us when we're doing well, when we're obedient to him. His love is an eternal love. There never was a time when he did not love you. In John 10 and verse 16, we read these words, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Other sheep, Jesus said, I have which are not of this fold. You notice he didn't say, other goats I have which are not of this fold. We were goats, but really in the heart and the mind of God, we were his sheep all from eternity past. And so he said, they too will come. We are loved eternally. The Son of God loves us peculiarly. And I'm so glad that that is true, because we are certainly a peculiar, a strange, a unique people, are we not? Strange sheep. I know that God is good. I know that God is kind to all men. He reigns on the just and the unjust. His benevolence reaches to all his creatures, everything he's created. We see the love of God demonstrated. But there is a special, particular family love which God has for his own elect. What a special love that is. We know what it is to be in a family with a mom and dad and the children. But then we know what it is to be one in Christ and be the family of God, an assembly of the saints, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is our family. This is where God has truly placed us. It's a particular family love that Christ shows for us as his church. And then it's interesting to note that the Lord loves us perseveringly. I don't know about you, but I endeavor to persevere in many things in my life, but I often come short. And yet the Lord's love for us perseveres through thick and thin, through good times and bad times. And though we sinned in Adam, though we were born in sin and lived in sin by deliberate choice, his love for us has never broken, never changed. No matter what we have done as his child, he loves us still. You know, sometimes our own children act up and get into mischief and do worse than that. And sometimes our children will look at the parents and say, "Well, I don't know how you could love me." Have you ever had that happen? "I don't know how you could love me. I've been so bad, so disobedient." And what does the parent think? "How could I not love this child that I brought into the world, that I've fed, I've raised, I've nurtured, I've prayed for?" That love of the parent is the same. But how much greater is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for our souls? He loves us in a very persevering way. And so though we sin still, after receiving his love and grace and mercy, his love does not cease, nor does it become lukewarm or cold. His love is patient. His love is long-suffering. His love is lasting and enduring. It will not change. And so God will never cease to love those whom he has always loved. His love is as he is. He is immutable, unchangeable, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught me. It is so. And then our Savior loves us, and we ought to really be thankful for this. He loves us sacrificially. In 1 John it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." He so loved us that he voluntarily laid down his life in our place. That's what the substitutionary death of Christ is all about. He went to the cross for me, where I should have been hung upon that tree to suffer and die and take the wrath of God. He did that for me. He has done that for every one of his dear children. And so mighty is his love that when he knew the price of our souls was his own precious blood, he did not run away. As a lamb to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. He willingly poured out his life's blood to redeem us. What love is this? The Lord Jesus Christ loves his people savingly. Savingly. The love of Christ for us is much more than just some willful emotion that he wishes that we would be saved. He wishes that we'd be his children. He loves us and he's done something about it. Jesus so loves his own that he desires their salvation. And what he desires, he has the power and he has the wisdom to accomplish. And so when we view him hanging on the tree at Calvary in those last dying moments, he cried out, "It is finished." And the work of redemption completed. Nothing else to be added to it. His love is not helpless. It is powerful. And so he will not stand idly by and allow one soul whom he loves to perish. Think of that for a moment as we have loved ones that are still outside of Christ. We have those within our families and those within our homes and our relatives and our workplaces and those whom we dearly want to see turn from their sin and come to Christ. And so he will not stand idly by. He will not allow one soul whom he loves to perish when he has the power to save that soul. And then finally, and the Lord Jesus Christ loves us satisfyingly. I'm satisfied. You know, we used to sing a song many years ago, "I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold." How silly that song is. "I've got a mansion over the hilltop," I think it started out. Well, I'm not satisfied with any of those things. I know we sing about the mansion that's being prepared for us. We read of it in John's Gospel. But that's not what satisfies. It's him. It's him alone. It's him plus nothing. It's my Savior who died for me, that when we arrive in glory, it will be him I want to see first. His love will be satisfied. In Isaiah 53, and there in the 11th verse, Isaiah says, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." And so he will never, never lose the object of his love. All the way back from 700 some years before Christ came into the world, the prophet Isaiah says, "He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied." He's never lost a soul. He's never let one go. Isn't it a grand thing that when we fall into sin, he's like a bloodhound on our trail? He will not let us go. He will run us down and stop us in our tracks and chasten us and turn us back. And even sometimes when he has to break our legs and bring us home on his shoulders, he will do just that. The love of Christ will in the end conquer the hearts of every single one of his elect. You know what thrills me? I wonder how close we are to seeing that accomplished. I wonder how soon it is that the last of the elect will be drawn in by the love of Christ. This special, free, and sovereign love of Christ as will satisfy all his people. "I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed." And they always will. This world has nothing to offer the born-again believer in Christ. It's kind of nice to have things to enjoy and to meet our needs, but They don't satisfy. And the only satisfaction that any soul will ever find will be when they bend the knee and bow the heart and cry out unto that Savior who died at Calvary, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He satisfies completely. Everything else is like sand in your hand, like the wind blowing away with the leaves. And so this special free sovereign love satisfies our souls. He will give us all that we can need or desire for all eternity. I don't know about you, but he's given me all I could need or desire for time. If he stopped giving right now, that would be fine. But he's giving us all that we need, all that is needed to satisfy us both here on this earth and in eternity. He will withhold no good thing from his own. In that great day which is yet to come, God's creation will stand back in awe and wonder and say concerning all his redeemed people, behold how he loved him. The whole creation is groaning and waiting for that great redemption day. Do you have a sense in your heart of the love of Christ for you? How deep is that fountain? I thought about that last hymn that we sang, number 827, Oh, to See the Dawn. And there's a young man here that a few years ago sat right over there, and it's the first time that he ever heard that song. And the love of Christ overwhelmed his soul, and he got up and he went out the door. And since that time, the Lord has dealt with him and saved his soul. And my grandson sitting here tonight as a saved, baptized believer to partake of the Lord's Supper and remember the death of Christ for him. What a wonderful love. Let's pray. Oh, our Father, we try to even imagine and comprehend the great love wherewith you loved us. We know that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, you had an eternal love for your own. We know that you have saved us by your love. Your greatest demonstration of your love for our souls is when you took your only begotten Son and nailed him to the cross, poured out your wrath upon him as he paid for our sins in the shedding of his blood and the giving of his life. And Father, we're thankful that he not only died for us, he not only bore our sins away in his own body on the tree, but he rose again from the dead. And Father, we look forward to that great and glorious getting up morn when Christ shall come again for his church. And we meet here tonight to gather on this table and to remember him and his great love for us personally, individually. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.